Welcome to Veterinary Ophthalmology, a podcast hosted by Dr. DJ Heusler, a board-certified veterinary ophthalmologist by the American College of Veterinary Ophthalmologists, and his co-host, John Lobby. Dr. Heusler owns and operates the Animal Eye Institute. Here, we talk about medical intervention, surgical correction, and current issues in veterinary ophthalmology. Our goal is to level you up in veterinary ophthalmology.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Veterinary Ophthalmology Podcast. I am your co-host, John, here with the one and only Dr. DJ Heusler. Hello, DJ.
Here we are.
We are back.
We are back.
Oh, well, we are catching Dr. Heusler in between jet trips here on the good old American Airlines, fresh off of a trip from Mexico, home for a hot minute to make sure that the Animal Eye Institute is running fine, and then off to the ACVO conference. So we want to spend some time today talking about ACVO, about that conference, about all the different learnings that come from it. But DJ, first and foremost, for those that may not be aware, although many probably are, we can't make assumptions, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. What is ACVO?
The ACVO conference is the American College of Veterinary Ophthalmologists and is held yearly, usually at the end of September, early October, typically from Tuesday, Wednesday-ish through Sunday, with some optional different lectures and things like that.
So before you went to Boston, you got to have a pretty cool experience here locally in Cincinnati with an extern that is somebody I hope one day to be able to meet down in Brazil. Talk to us a little bit about that extern experience.
Yep. Dr. Fernanda Diaz was here for the week before, so she got to hang out with us and watch some surgeries and participate in cases. She's from a city in Brazil called, I'll butcher this, but it's called Poucas de Caldas. And so, yeah, so she was able to hang out, and she's been a longtime supporter of the Animal Eye Institute. So it was nice to have her hang out with us and share ideas.
Yeah, that's great. And it's always wonderful to hear different perspectives on how you do the same kind of job in from various parts of not only the United States where we live, but across the globe, which is a unique experience that you get to have. So ACVO Boston 2023, admittedly, one of my favorite cities in the United States is Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Boston is an amazing city. I agree with you. We're going to back it up a little bit.
What?
Friday, before we went to Boston, we went to the aquarium, the Newport Aquarium.
Oh.
And did some exams.
You got to take like when the Brazilians came. Right? When Dr. Jack and Stefano and Adriano.
Yeah, so they had another series of eyeballs we needed to look at and some penguins. But there was a pufferfish that allegedly got bit by an eel. And their veterinarian removed that as I kind of watched and coached and things like that. And we're waiting on biopsy about that. But this pufferfish previously had a large portion of her tail removed for a tumor.
This fish is living a tough life.
Dude, the fish's name is Motorin. You know, the song? Go ahead.
Motorin.
Because she's just motoring.
She's just motoring.
Motoring. Yep. Motoring.
Okay, we're going to move on.
I think it's by Sister Christian. Sister Christian?
Sister Christian, yeah.
Yeah.
Motoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I'm the one to be the karaoke standout.
Not today,
but not today. I have been overshadowed.
Yeah.
Overshadowed yet
you
again.
You cannot beat my Sister Christian, brother. Yeah.
Motoring. So
I got to work with Haley Jungers, who admitted that she's now a longtime listener, no time caller.
I am so excited. So excited.
I got to drop her name because she was excited to listen. And I got to also say that she provides some of the most unique experiences I've ever had in veterinary medicine, and therefore able to provide that to my interns and residents. And I constantly have people from my office say, next time you go to the aquarium, you got to take me. So even my brother-in-law, Joey, who doesn't do medical exams, was like, "You, brother, you owe me." So I had to, take him, and he got some time with the penguins and the puffer fish. And then while the enucleation was going on, Joey also played Motorin.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
So, which is not the name of the song, but that's what I know it by.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So I am really excited to have her on a future episode of the podcast.
We got to have her because she's got the wildest stories.
I can only imagine. I mean, that is one of my favorite aquariums that I've ever been to. We've been to quite a few across the country, and having it right here in greater Cincinnati area is absolutely fantastic. They've do just some really cool experiences for everybody. And to hear some of the stories coming from her, and I myself would love to go in person, but I'm told that our equipment is not allowed to go. So we're going to have you stay here while I go down to the aquarium. I remote in holding a penguin, kissing a stingray. I don't know. We'll see all the different things that could happen. I mean, like me and Motorin, I feel like maybe spirit animals.
Well, Dr. Haley and her technician, Joe, are amazing, and they both have larger than life personalities. And so we need to, in the next 3 to 5 episodes, have them on because they got some stories, man. They got some stories. So
I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
You got to do it.
So,
the medicine at the aquarium has just gone berserk, like in a good way, when Dr. Haley's there. I mean, she calls me for all these eyes, like, "Hey, something's weird, come on down." And you know, we do it pro bono, so because it's so interesting, but like, it's such a great experience. So it's great. It's a good relationship.
No, it is, like I said, such an amazing asset to the city in this region to have the Newport Aquarium there right on the Ohio River, overlooking the great skyline of Cincinnati, and just phenomenal people there. So we look forward to sharing some of that work with all of our listeners in coming episodes for certain. But for today's topic, we're going to really drill into feedback from ACVO 2023 in Beantown. Like I was saying, one of my favorite cities. Yep. My wife's entire family, born and raised in Southie, as we love to refer to it, South Boston, one of the very legendary areas of Boston. For those that may be listening internationally, Boston was the site of Paul Revere's famous ride when the British were coming to invade what is now the United States, and ran from Fort Independence, which we know as Castle Island in our family, down to the Old North Church, and hung a lantern in the steeple. And they knew that if there was one lantern hanging, the British would be coming by land, and two lanterns if it were by sea. So it is a seminal area of the United States in our history. And the history just lives so strong today when you go to visit it. It, as you can tell, it's one of the parts of our country that I'm just so passionate about and so thankful that we get to visit when we visit family on a pretty regular basis. But DJ, you don't get to go there as often as I do. This is a place that you've been maybe once or twice before, but give us a little bit about your thoughts about Boston as a site to host one of these wonderful conferences.
From a city standpoint, the food is amazing. Lots to do. There's an aquarium there. There's sightseeing, all within walking distance or maximum 15-minute Uber, but tons to do. So it was one of my favorite locations. Coincidentally, my first ACVO was in 2006 in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was a senior and vet student. I drove down to Nashville, where I didn't know what anybody was talking about, but I said, "This is what I want to do." I didn't know anything.
It's kind of like when I come into this podcast, you use words that I can't spell, let alone pronounce, but I'm still in it.
Well, I watched these lectures and I was like, "I don't know what they're talking about, but this is phenomenal work. These pictures are awesome and I got to be a part of this." And that's the way I felt in Nashville. In 2008 was my first ACVO as a resident, and it was in Boston. And the location was great. I didn't know anybody And so I didn't have any friends. I didn't know who was in the ACVO, you know, residence. I didn't know any of that. So I was very lonely, and it was a long conference for me because I didn't know anybody. But now this conference was great. I have more friends than I deserve, and I got to catch up with a lot of different people. So it was a lot of fun.
Did you get to experience much of the Bostonian accent that is so
a little bit? Yeah,
little bit.
I got a little bit of it.
Yeah, so, a little lobster.
And it makes me smile. So. Yeah. Yeah,
lobster, and said people. Anybody say wicked pissa?
Oh yeah, I got some wicked pigas.
Yeah,
got a lot of wickeds actually.
Yeah, a lot of wickeds, a lot of wickeds. Well, I'm sure it was a wicked conference. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was wicked.
That's for sure. Like I said, it is a place so near and dear to my heart in so many ways. So I'm glad you got a chance to experience it for this conference. So you lectured at the conference, right?
I did. I spoke to the Academy of Veterinary Ophthalmology Technicians.
Oh.
AVOT, A-V-O-T. And so they have a concurrent conference that goes at the same time as the ACVO for technicians that are interested in ophthalmology. And I got to lecture for about an hour and a half on retina and optic nerve disease. Yeah.
I didn't know they had that kind of side-by-side conference thing going on. Is that pretty common for a technician to... Is that a common career path coming... As a tech, maybe go back to school and then on? I mean, I know we talked about Andrew, but...
No, I don't think it is. But these people, these individuals that are doing this are ridiculously concentrated and focused on this as their career path. And honestly, they make the best techs out there because they're going after the cream of the crop in research and lecture and understanding diseases. And these technicians get as good, if not better, than many doctors discussing these diseases.
Well, shame on me for making the assumption that somebody was attending that to go into a different area of their field as opposed to getting to be the best in their current field. Well, shame on me.
They're the best of the best. If I could get a few of these guys employed at my practice, I'd be happy campers because they're all about it.
Well, then. Why don't you share with our listeners a couple of your key takeaways and insights from the conference?
Well, number one, Boston has amazing food and restaurants, which we were talking about earlier.
Oh, I could go all day on this.
All day. I mean,
all day on this. I'm very thankful to my cousin that I texted him and I said, I need our good old buddy, Dr. Jack. He got there a couple of days early, knowing Dr. Jack. So I said, I need some good food recommendations. I need some good locations for them to maybe go out to some bars or wherever they need to live their social life. And he rattled a whole bunch off, some of which you took him up on.
So. Yeah. So we went out with Dr. Ron Spatola and Jack and one of Jack's students, and we got some Italian and it was fantastic. And then the next day I'm in the escalator and I go into the conference and I run into a friend of mine who I just recently met in Berlin last year. So I guess it would have been last year. And she's from Italy. And she asked if I was, you know, enjoying the food in Boston. And she's from, I'll re-say she's from Italy. And I said, the Italian food here is amazing.
As if it isn't in Italy?
I was fortunate enough that I caught myself. And I looked at her and I said, I'm really sorry. The food here
is tone deaf comment right there.
The food here is not as the Italian food here actually is not as good as what you experience at home. Thank you for listening.
But I will say, in your defense, Hanover Street in the North End, in the North End of Boston, that is the place to go for some good Italian cuisine. Lucia's
we went to.
Lucia's is one of the best. Again, thanks, Peter, for that recommendation. It is just so good. So good. Oh, man. So obviously the city itself was fantastic and the food was great, but talk to us maybe about some of the experiences you were able to have there, the lectures you were able to see, and if there were any things that stood out to you that you took away from the conference.
Well, the hotel was really awesome. It was a beautiful hotel. Someone told me a statistic, and I don't know if it's true, but they said that, so we stay at the Boston Park Plaza. And someone told me that every president except for the last three has spent at least one night in the Boston Park Plaza. But it was nice. We apparently, I think, were supposed to be there in 2020, I believe, but the whole COVID thing broke down, and so we had to reschedule it. So now, you know, it got moved now, and the ACVO is significantly bigger in 2023 than it was in 2020. And so there were some aspects maybe that felt a little bit small, but the board that put it all together was fantastic, made it work. It was awesome. It felt great to me. I thought it was very, very well done. So yeah, no complaints to me. And it was really neat seeing everybody. And I got a lot of experiences there.
So were there any talks or that were you found in particularly informative that really stand out to you?
You know, there are talks that are good that stand out, but in my opinion, where the real gist of the meeting occurs is after hours, you know, and so I was able to meet with my mentor, Dr. David Wilkie, in the lobby restaurant area and shared maybe an hour with him. And he gave me some advice on management and his experience. And that was wonderful. I really needed that. It was very appreciative. Also got to spend time with Jack, and we ran into Dr. Kirk Gillett, who is the godfather of veterinary ophthalmology. And Dr. Gillett gave us about an hour's worth of stories about medicine and life. And it was one of those experiences where you're like, I'm not leaving here until he says he wants to leave. Cause this is the god of ophthalmology. I got a lot of experiences with past interns and residents who wanted to meet for just to catch up or get advice or whatever. And I always appreciate that, you know, if they left here, that they still have a positive opinion of us and not, hey, like, you're the devil. So, you know, I met with Carrie Gonzalez, and it was awesome. And yeah, I got to talk with her, and it was a great talk. So,
well, in our previous podcast about Mexico, we were talking about the importance of attending these not just to hear the content, mm-hmm. but the importance of attending these to build the network. Mm-hmm. And you've been touching on it a little bit, but there were a couple of instances that you texted me about during your time there when I was not there, which is another story for another day. I mean, why would a silly co-host go to one of these educational
conferences? Okay, so you can go to Savannah and stop crying like you're a baby. You can but go to Savannah next year, you big baby. You're such baby.
We'll see if I can fit it in.
No, you're going to fit it in because you're a big baby.
I am a big baby. So, but there were one, I got a text message from you with a picture that said, you will not believe who I just ran into. Right. Who was it?
It was your friend Sparty.
It's our buddy Sparty.
Yep.
Yep.
It was her second ACVO.
Yeah. She is on her way, doing well up at Michigan State.
Right.
It's fun to watch all of her successes on social media. But she was our very first person to reach out to us via direct message to ask questions about veterinary ophthalmology and you know, offer questions for us to address on the podcast be fantastic.
You're so positive right now. And what did you say that you were going to do if she didn't ask about you?
Unfollow her on social
you
media.
You did. But we all knew that wasn't going to happen.
I would never.
I know, but she's great and very, very appreciative and thankful.
Well, she's doing great stuff. She's presented posters all across. So she's well on her way. Has a great future in the field for sure. But you got a lot of chances to meet with a lot of folks. Anything stand out to you other than Sparty?
Spending time with my mentor meant a lot to me. Spending time with Dave Wilkie meant a lot to me. Seeing Jamie Lembo, my associate, pass her boards and get board certified means the world to me. That's the greatest honor that I could have. That was a huge thing. Let's see. hearing from other people that I may have interviewed but didn't necessarily select for an internship, them coming to me and shaking my hand and saying nice things to me. That's very adult, very mature, and I appreciate that. Meeting with current interns and residents in terms of their career goals and things, that I'm very flattered by that. I'm very, very flattered. It's not something I ever thought that I'd see in my life. And so that all makes a lot.
Well, it's quite the career progression for you to go from somebody who went to one of these, didn't know anybody, to now having a network of peers, but also people that are seeking out your opinions as to what it means to be successful. So congratulations to you for all of that.
Sure. Yeah, it still takes you back though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned Dr. Lembo. Talk to those folks that may not be aware a little bit about what it takes and what it means to be welcomed into the ACVO.
So Jamie Lembo, who she did her rotating internship. Then she did vet school at, I believe, Iowa, and then did her rotating internship at Tufts, and then did
up in Boston area.
Yeah. Yep. And then did her specialty ophthalmology internship with Dr. John Sapienza, who wrote me a email saying basically, hey, you need to look at this girl. She's really good. We took her for residency and she's been great. And she finished up and completed her residency and now she's board certified. And I couldn't be more proud of anything in my life right now.
Well done, Dr. Lembo. Congratulations to you. And to, I believe I saw online maybe 23 new members were inducted, something like that. So that seems like a pretty good
23 in year 23 is what they did this year.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Look at that. They're so clever.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Well, so when you weren't lecturing, you were able to network, obviously, but was there one presenter or presentation that stuck out to you that you really took something from? I mean, and I say it this way for those that might be listening for the first time, you know, Dr. Heusler, when he goes to these conferences, not only takes in the content, but he actually also learns a lot from the art of the educators and the people that are lecturing. So that's why I ask it kind of in two parts for you to take your way. Is was there a topic that really stuck out to you that you think that you'll take back? Or was there maybe a presenter that you learned something from in which the style they communicate?
I always love to listen to Brian Leonard from UC Davis. He's a friend of mine and incredibly smart. And he talked about nasal lacrimal disease, which was a really nice presentation. Lionel Sabag also gave an awesome lecture on tear film. And so these two guys, I thought, just did a tremendous job of presenting what they're learning, what they're doing, the future, and greatly appreciated their remarks and the education.
Well, and these conferences are things that you invest a lot of your time in. And you get to not only share your insights, but you get to listen to a lot of things coming forward. Is there any topic that you see really catching steam or gets presented quite a bit from a couple different perspectives that you think really has an opportunity to impact the field?
I think everybody is, and this was brought up in a discussion in Mexico as well, is that I think everybody is trying to find the holy grail of glaucoma. How do we solve canine glaucoma? And I don't know if we're close or not, but it's very frustrating. And so, you know, every year at the minute I get the conference proceedings, I scan it and see if, are we going to be talking about glaucoma or not? This year, I don't know. We didn't, nothing that was groundbreaking, I guess.
So as you think about these conferences, and the value you get from it, so much of it is figured out not in the classroom, but around the dinner table. So were there any great conversations around the work that you all do that stuck out that maybe happened around bruschetta at Lucia's or maybe over at Grill 23 with some colleagues?
Sometimes when you get to my age, it's a conversation of making fun of each other. And that's just the truth. But there are some discussions scientifically that go on as how do you manage this? How do you manage that? And we manage things differently. And sometimes we have the same outcome. But also a lot of times it's just friends teasing each other, which is fun. The conferences have to be educational and fun at the same time. They can't just be brain draining the whole time.
Well, in the end, I think we can make the assumption, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but will you tell everybody the value that comes from not only being a member of ACVO, but the importance of going to its annual conference?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you get your CE credit, which is state required. You get to listen to groundbreaking research, and you get to meet friends that, you know, you can discuss and debate research, and that's important. It's very important. And every year that I go to the ACVO, it reinvigorates me for months. So if I didn't go, I'd probably be the same old doldrum for a while. But when I do go, I get a good 4 months of being motivated, seeing my friends, hearing what they're up to. You know, Henry Garcia recently has stated that he's going to reboot the surgical conference. So that gets us all going again. And so yeah, this is important because this isn't stuff that just flies across like an email or anything.
Well, in the spirit of our original podcast sessions, I wanted to put forward to you a Boston-influenced Fast Five.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Haven't done these last couple of episodes.
It's been a while. Okay.
Because we've been, we've had all these, different topics we've discussed. Yeah. We haven't had a guest on in a hot minute. That'll change. Mm-hmm. That'll change real quick. So I have a couple here.
Okay.
That I want to throw your way. Best restaurant in the city of Boston.
For me, I really enjoyed Grill 23. Went there a few nights and I really loved it. Great steak, great lobster.
Insider tip here on Grill 23. You may or may not, if you go there, see one of the sharks from the TV show Shark Tank. You may or may not. I don't know who. We're not going to say. Because I don't want to bust anybody out. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But I will say you may see him there. So
Grill
23, great. It's like great steaks, right?
Great food and great service. They were great service. Yeah.
So other than food, were you able to go travel the city at all?
Yeah.
Best spot you saw in the city of Boston.
I believe it's called Copley Plaza, which is a mall that I went to.
Yeah. And what kind of mall are we talking about? Are we talking about like a grassy mall or like a shopping mall?
It was a mall that was just filled with the most low-end products you've ever seen in your life. Like they were selling incense and no, I'm joking. This is the most high-end mall I've ever seen in my life. They had Gucci, Versace, Tiffany, Jimmy Choo's, Christian Louboutin, Tag Heuer, Saks Fifth Avenue. I can't even name them, but I was scared to walk into these.
Was that on down near Newberry?
Very close to Newberry. Yeah, one block away from Newberry. But yeah. That I was so scared to walk into any of these places. It was just so much money there.
Yeah you kind of felt like
went into a custom shoe store where like the average cost of a pair of Nike shoes was $300. Like wild. I loved it.
Dude, I got wild. These. I got these that you complimented earlier today for like 75.
Yeah, 75 is putting it lightly. Those are.
Oh, well, you stop it.
Those are $38 shoes.
You were like, oh, look at you rocking the Air Force Ones. Fooled you, bro. Boston is a rather large city that relies very heavily on its transportation. It's known for what's called the Big Dig, which tunnels underneath the harbor and all this jazz. Did you partake in riding the T or any of Boston's mass transit?
No, just Ubers.
Oh, you missed out, man. Yeah. If you don't know how to go from the green line to the red line and get blah, 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 you are missing out. So that's, you got to do that next when you go on back. Okay. Person that you ran into at ACVO, colleague, friend, etc., that you are most excited to spend time with?
That's a great question.
I got them all, bud.
I was really excited to meet Kiersey, who is a technician with eye care. She talked about different lecture opportunities with them in China and Asian America. Super excited to meet Mason Williams, who's with Centrix, who introduced me to the people at Dome Pharma. So I liked all that. Really excited to meet my mentor, Dave Wilkie, and be able to spend some time with him. And then I'm always excited to meet any of my past students that are don't hate me and want to spend some time.
Oh, stop.
Well, I mean,
well, hey, you gotta work is work, right? So, it's always nice to run into people that you cross paths with in various manners, see how they're doing.
Running into Kerrigan Salas. So, yeah.
Those are great ones. All right. Well, the last one, I mean, I think takes a little bit of a special twist for us, because in our first probably about 10 episodes, we asked a very important philosophical question. Mm-hmm. And that question is a hot dog a sandwich? Now, for those that have never had a hot dog in the New England region of the United States in Boston, it is put on what we call a New England roll, mm-hmm. right? And it essentially is a loaf of bread is cut up and then sliced down the middle. So the traditional hot dog bun has kind of two, you know, it's made in it as its own thing. This is part of a slice of bread. So it looks like the hot dog is between two slices of bread.
Right.
Which would make it a sandwich.
Right.
So I pose the question to you straight off of your original answer always was that a hot dog was its own delicacy.
True.
Does your experience in Boston recently change your mind that a hot dog is a sandwich?
Boston pushes it closer to sandwich level.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's unbelievable. I mean, so the first time I ever had a New England roll, I don't believe I had met my now wife. I had not. And I went to Holy Cross University or Holy Cross College. I don't know if it's a university or a college. It's up in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Wait, you went there and you don't know?
No, I went to go visit. Oh, and I wasn't smart enough to get in. And we were at my friend Jack's house and he said, we're going to, you know, grill out some dogs and stuff. And he pulls up these New England rolls and it literally looks like two pieces of white bread with a dog in between.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is this?
Right. Looks like
this is ridiculous. What is this thing? He was like, bro.
Did you run out of buns?
I can't adequately answer that question because I don't. Now the question must become, is a New England roll a bun?
Yeah.
My mind is blown. I don't know what to do with this. Well, hey, everybody. That's our Fast Five. DJ doesn't know the answer. I don't know the answer. The ACVO Boston is throwing this is a hot dog a sandwich thing way over the rails. So, DJ, thank you so much for sharing your feedback from ACVO. Congratulations to the 23andMe. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. Thank you for joining us tonight. Any parting words, DJ?
No, thank you. It's great as always.
Always. You're going to find Dr. Hoistler and all of his peers' journeys on social media platforms at Animal Eye Institute. You'll find things about this podcast at VetOptoPod, at I co-host all over the place. So thank you all so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast with Dr. DJ Hoistler and John Lobby. Tune in next time for more educational content and current events in veterinary ophthalmology.